Let's go.
It's time.
You are listening to the most original talk radio station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com.
You're listening to Accent On with Alona Europa and Jonathan Todd, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Love the song, maybe because I sang this song, and maybe because I have Mimmo Capuano with me from Italy, from Eiffel 65, and he just arranged and produced the song. Maybe because I have Jim Strzałkowski in a studio with me, and he's all about dance music and club life and TV and new, young and older great singers, and he will talk to us about that. And just I'm in this mood of dancing today, but we have also Jonathan Todd, not with us again.
Aloha.
I don't love you anymore. How can be that I'm talking to you 5 minutes or I'm talking to you through the radio? Your wife is a little angry.
Yeah, my wife's been a little angry for a while.
Yeah, I was born angry, maybe. I don't know.
Something like that.
Yeah, okay. Okay, but your goal is to make me happy, then you just need to do anything, you know, I don't know what. But today, I'm for sure happy because I'm on Accent On, and that's the most lovely place to be. We are in L.A., in L.A. Talk Radio Studios, and Accent On would like to announce that we have John Johnson with us again, and I think time to listen from him. Okay, hit.
Thanks, Jonathan and Alana. Hello, everybody. This is John Johnson for Firefly. Today, I want to talk about how we all have the ability to shape the destiny of the universe. Now, if I were to say to you that all of us have within ourselves the ability to shape our own destinies by the choices we make consciously every day, you'd probably agree and say, yes, that's true. But just as important, each of us has an equal ability to shape the destiny of the universe. Now that you find more difficult to believe, but I tell you that it's absolutely true. You do not have to be a king or a queen or even Captain Kirk of the Starship Enterprise to have a significant impact on the world and the universe around you. Let me give you something to think about. In the vastness of the ocean, is any one drop of water greater than another? No. And neither has a single drop the ability to cause a tidal wave. But I'll argue with you that if a single drop falls into the ocean, it creates ripples. And these ripples spread out. And perhaps, who knows, these ripples spread out and they join with other ripples to grow and swell to eventually land thousands of miles away, breaking upon a distant shore as large waves. So, just like a single drop of water in the vast ocean, each of us causes ripples as we move through our lives, and the effects of whatever we do, insignificant as it may seem at the time, spreads out beyond us, and we may never know what far-reaching impact even the most simplest action might have on our fellow human beings. So remember this, we are all affecting the world every moment, whether we mean to or not. Our actions and our states of mind matter because we are so deeply interconnected that simply by working on our own consciousness is probably the most important thing that we are doing at any one moment. So always be aware of and responsible for the energy that you bring to the world. Now, if you're sitting there listening and trying to figure out what can I do to have a positive impact on the universe, well, let me share something personal with you. So I personally try to live my life with several core principles. And one of those core principles is that a silent compliment isn't much use to anyone. If you feel something positive about someone, whether it's a complete stranger or a close friend, you should share that positive observation with that person in the moment that you have that thought. because this may be your only opportunity to share that thought with them. And secondly, you never know how an authentic compliment, no matter how small, can change someone's life exponentially. And just like a drop in the ocean that causes a ripple connecting with another swell to create tides, the energy and the ripple effect of authentic appreciation is probably one of the most powerful and greatest gifts you can ever give to another person. It's something that the recipient will always remember. You know, we don't have to engage in grand, heroic actions to participate in the process of change. Small acts, when multiplied by millions of people, can transform the entire world, even our universe. Because every major event that has changed the world and the universe always starts in the heart and the mind of a single individual with nothing more than a conviction of their belief. One person of substance can change the universe. Now, here is the secret. Only one thing is necessary. You must take action. You must give. You must share. You must act. Simply start sending out ripples and waves of love and kindness into the world, and then simply sit back and wait for a response. Or, better yet, continue to send out more ripples. Why wait? The response will come, I promise you. I, for one, will keep sending out waves and enjoy the reaction. And speaking of reaction, I want to thank everyone for the notes, the beautiful emails, all the positive posts on our Facebook page, your enthusiasm and your passion for all things positive. Your kindness washes over me like an incoming tide, and I really believe that together we're all moving towards an even brighter horizon. So to read more of my daily thoughts or to share your stories of positive change, please visit the John Johnson official fan page on Facebook. Or you can follow me on Twitter at John's Cat. That's J-O-N-S-C-A-T, at John's Cat. For Firefly, Igniting the Soul, this is John Johnson, challenging you to live your life like the dream you have is real. Now let's check back in the studio with two people who are always changing my universe for the better, Alana and Jonathan. Hi, guys. So what's cooking in the studio? And when I say cooking, what I really mean to say is that I'm just excited because we have one of the most famous chefs in the world, Chef Scott Liefried, who's going to be on the show. He stars in Fox TV's hit show Hell's Kitchen with Gordon Ramsay, and I cannot wait to hear his segment.
Oh my gosh, John, you are amazing. Not only you know how to get to our hearts, you know how to speak to our minds and souls, but you also remember and introduce our great, great new segment. Yes, we'll be having Scott Liefried with us in, I think, like in 30 or 40 minutes. We'll be talking about some tips for healthy barbecues. But again, for right now, yes, our wonderful friend John Johnson will be talking to us next week. And I cannot wait, and all of us, we just love his beautiful soul, and especially what he leaves in us after, you know, when message is sent by him. Then every day I'm starting my Facebook by going to his official fan page and just, I wonder what John was writing today about. But anyway, we love you, John. I know you're in Dallas somewhere, and we miss you, and hopefully I know that you will be soon with us in a studio live with a few wonderful guests, and I cannot wait to have you live with studio with us, okay? Right now, I think time for some music, and I think time to dance a little bit. I know John loves dance music also, but we have very special guest with us, and he will tell us who is singing the song, okay?
Back. Gonna get you back. Gonna make a move that knocks you over. Watch this turn, this one's gonna put you away. But I'm doing my very best dancing, yeah. Every time you look the other way, I could move out to the left for a while, and I could slide to the right for a while. I could get up and back, I'm right on track. But it's right on track, it's not gonna get you back. I could get up and back.
Sharon place doesn't allow me. I just love it. Jim. First, I think I owe you some nice introduction. Jim Strzałkowski, that's the Polish way. Can you tell us American way?
Well, we say Strzałkowski.
Strzałkowski.
Yes.
I like also, as a creative director, extraordinaire, media giants for creative concepts, styling, PR, marketing and events, writer, blogger, DJ with BFA and MBA, and I'm telling you, his bio is just so exciting, and we have him in the studio, and I really think I will just let you talk, because first we need to find out, what is this track, who is this singer, why sounds so good, and where did you find him, and lots of more about you, okay? Okay.
Well, first, thanks for having me, Ilona. It's awesome to be here.
Welcome.
It's a lot of fun. You know, and you read my Twitter bio.
Hello,
so that's
of
the
course.
Abbreviated.
And this was the best, the shorter way to describe what your bio is, 2 pages, and I want you to talk about
extremely
that.
Extremely abbreviated.
But again, this is your 10 minutes, then you just fire up.
All right. Well, we were listening to Right on Track. Do you recognize that song at all?
I know that it's a song from my past a little bit. I think we
yeah.
all, yeah, then, but the new version is pretty hot. But you tell us.
Well, thanks. You know, I just kind of had a vision. It came to me. Like, I always loved that song growing up, and it's, I have a lot of memories associated with it. I think I was a senior in high school. I hate to date myself, but but a lot of people seem to like that song. I don't know why. It just kind of brings back memories. The original one. And it just kind of came to me one time ago, you know, this would be kind of cool if it was updated and, absolutely, you know, sped up a little bit, you know, increase the BPM there and get it going. And, you know, I had talked with a couple different people along the way about doing it. And I actually met someone, oh, God, about a year and a half ago, maybe more now. I'm not quite sure. And we got together, got in the studio. The artist's name is Raquel Red. And we're having a lot of fun with the project. We've got a music video out on YouTube if you want to search it, Raquel Red, Right on Track. And the version we listened to was the Mr. Anderson mix. Okay. There's two videos out there right now. There's the original one, which we did with Josh Harris, who you know. Well, I think he's been on the show before, right?
Oh, he didn't yet. He's
oh, he hasn't been on yet.
Sad,
oh, good.
But we have very good news because Natasha... Tad, Mira Tad, my daughter, I cannot lie, she's an amazing singer, better than me because she speaks English well.
Awesome.
And you know her, she also, you know, you had the chance to hear her. But Josh Harris and, yeah, and Natasha is working on CD then. I will be having Josh with Natasha on the studio on a big, big, but come back.
Can't
to
wait
artist.
For that project. Yeah, you know, so, you know, Josh Harris did a mix, which was awesome. And then we kind of took it and revamped it and did something different. Worked with Scott Anderson, who was known as Solar City, and we kind of changed it up, and he changed it up for himself on this one and decided to brand it Mr. Anderson. So that was the Mr. Anderson mix, and you can buy that on iTunes right now. We've got mixes from the Club Jumpers. My boy Dan Matthews turned it out on that one. You're friends with the Club Jumpers, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah,
David,
we love the
them.
Club Jumpers.
Oh, my gosh. We love them.
Who else did mix? We've got Dave Matthias did a mix for us.
What about Mimo Capuano from Eiffel 65? He's supposed to do some mix for this gentleman. Maybe.
He will. How about the next single?
I cannot wait. Okay. Little Italy.
So that was Raquel Red, anyway.
Wow.
And Raquel Red is a lot of fun, and also kind of brings back that feeling the old days with when Boy George was big and George Michael and even RuPaul. There's a little mix in there of that, and he's a very talented artist, studied on scholarship at the Berklee School of Music. And he's a lot of fun. He's actually in Nashville hanging out with DJ Ron Slomowitz. You know DJ
Ron. He will come back country. He'll dance country.
Having fun. So, but check out the video online. It's on YouTube.
We will. But
a lot of fun.
I know you have so many artists that really owe you a lot, you know. And I would like to know a little bit about you. I'm sure you're bringing your new artists to the discussion. But can you tell us a little bit about your very big bio, very lots of stuff was happening in
your
life.
You know, it's just, I just feel like I'm blessed to be able to work in this business, this crazy business of entertainment in Hollywood. I started in New York, started DJing at a young age, in my teens, and then just kind of like, you know, hung out in club life, went to school through it all, studied theater, you know, did the whole acting thing, and always loved music, was always there, and went on to, you know, get scholarships and things of that. Went to Niagara University, graduated there with a degree in theater, and lived in New York, did the New York thing. Back in the day, I was, believe it or not, in soap operas, One Life to Live, All My Children, did those kind of shows, and off-Broadway stuff, off-Broadway stuff as well. And, you know, I just kind of, I love the business, and I started doing PR and some marketing. And I just loved it, and I knew I had a niche for it. And so I went back to school and got an MBA in media management. And then, you know, went to work at Viacom, MTV. I worked at People Magazine for a little while in their publicity department, and ended up getting a job at Paramount Pictures here in L.A., and that's how I found myself in Los Angeles. Oh, God.
15 years of your life, really, in this industry.
Quite a while.
Yeah,
and so I worked for the motion picture business for a while, and then TV and done all kinds of things. I was with the original gay and lesbian television network called Q Television, and we launched that, and then Logo kind of, you know, took over, and then that dissipated. And, you know, I just found myself working with a lot of dance artists were calling me, you know,
absolutely,
or just pop artists, you know, worked with people like Exposé.
Favorite?
Deborah Gibson. Who?
Yeah, Deborah Gibson. Do you have favorite artists that you worked before?
Oh, that I've worked? They're all my favorite.
politically
I love them
correct. Okay, but I'm sure, you know, I don't want to say.
I have a special, yes. You know, love for everybody that I've worked with.
Oh, you
know, it's such a personal thing working in publicity.
I know.
And, you know.
But you're a different type of promoter because you really like to take care of Artist 360. You know,
yeah.
You just really, I know we had a lot of, few meetings a few years ago. I know
yeah.
I always cannot wait to work with you. I had no chances, like really, really work. You always support me so beautifully. I'm so thankful for that. But I'm a very unusual artist. I'm just underground diva, I call myself. You never know when I come up, when I go down. But I know...
The Polish diva.
Yeah, you can do this too. Yeah, that was your idea. We had
my
fun
favorite videos. Song is the Nagasaki song.
Fly to Nagasaki. I love you for that.
Oh my
yes,
God, still
Josh
my
Josh Harris also. You know, but I know that, yeah, your approach to work with artists is just completely different. You want to like know everything about them. You tell them lose weight. You tell them change hair color. You would say
yeah.
This is the mix and remixer that you're supposed to work with. That's the way how this would be. Do you think it's working? This approach is working right now in the music business, or really people are too arrogant to listen to one human like you? Or how does it? Because
you know, that's
arrogant.
Really funny because it is a stress. You know, every time you know I'll meet with people. You know, and sometimes it's a fit that we'll work together, but sometimes it's not, you know, it's fine. But a lot of times, you know, people do need that polishing, you
yes.
know, and, I have been around the block. I've actually been on stage. I've performed,
yes.
I've worked with, you know, different people. I've worked on the studio side. I've done all kinds of different things. And it's really a creative energy that comes out. You know, I just want to help somebody raise their game. You know,
yeah.
That's the whole purpose of it is raising your game, you know. Sometimes, I mean, even me, like, you know, like I'll take a picture of myself here. It's like, oh my God, do I really look like that right now? Like, oh my God. You know?
Oh gosh.
The truth is, it's like, it's very
me.
Hard for us to really see our true selves
yes.
and what we're
yes.
presenting to people. And we do need that objective eye.
And the image that we perceive ourselves is completely different what people want to see us or we people supposed to see us. You know, then, yeah, I know even you are really, really wonderfully honest with me. You came and said, Ilona, you're cool, you're that, you need to lose some weight. I'm like, oh, I hate
Did
you.
Did I say that to you?
Yeah. And
oh my
I
God,
don't
I'm
mind.
So sorry.
No, it's so true because, yes, you're right. And I think I was the thinnest I could be, but still, I know, you know, it's just you need somebody to tell you really what is maybe not wrong, but what can be improved and what direction.
I think for music especially, like, you know, like I'll have actors and stuff like that, like they don't know how to dress for a red carpet, you know what I mean? And for music, they really sort of have to go big and have fun, you
yeah.
know? Even if you're Lady Antebellum, which a friend Absolutely. Of mine dresses them, you know, it's like they still spend a lot of time designing costumes and looks and ideas. It's not just, you know, throw something on and go out on stage. And I've had artists that do that. But you really, it's so competitive. You know how competitive
yeah.
the business
yeah.
is.
Absolutely.
And, you know, really having a distinct voice through your image is as important as your music.
That's
you know,
why
it's,
I
if
decided.
Not more important sometimes.
Yeah, being on the stage right now, oh my gosh, you know, for all these young talents right now, it's just not easy, you know, creating your image. You just
mm-hmm.
need to talk to somebody because changing your image sometimes is much more harder than create one. If somebody, Jim, if somebody wants to contact you, where we can go? How can we find you? And yeah.
Oh my God. You know, I'm just all over the internet.
But you have one.
You know, I'm on Twitter. Jim Straz is the biggest way. People know me as Straz, Straz. Just type that in. You'll probably find me. Jim Straz. I'm on Twitter, Facebook. Where else am I? I used to have a blog, HollywoodGiants.com.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, GoDaddy, I had a glitch with them and it got shut down. So,
oh really?
Yeah, I'm not that happy about it. But you know what? It is what it is. So you know, I write for Examiner too.
And you were doing some interviews. I know you interviewed Josh Harris also. I was listening to a few of them. I am just really a fan. You know it. I know a lot of you. You don't even know how much I know about you. But you know, and you have the most beautiful blue eyes, John. I'm sorry, you have also blue eyes, but Jim has also blue beautiful eyes. Mimo, you are from Italy, of course, and I know that. Image in Europe on the stage image is just one of the most important things. We have the crazy bands coming out like in Tokyo Hotel, you know, the guys are just looking just out of this world, you know, with gorgeous leather jackets, colorful stuff. In America too we have, but I think Europeans are even more advanced in how they look on the stage. And I know that you have some unusual clothing when you go and play on a stage. Tell us about your outfit. You describe me your clothes, okay? Then tell me, when you play, how do you dress yourself?
But I have an idol on the stage is Kit Emerson.
Kit Emerson, okay.
And I like this strange costume, like cartoons, 70s cartoons, like from manga.
Explain us. I wanted to know. Paint the picture
like
for us.
Red pants, very slim.
Very slim, red pants.
In
like
PVC, plastic.
It's like plastic, tight. They're really like, you know, you sweat a little bit with that probably, but okay. Next.
And big shirts like you call yours.
Oh, the behind the knees. Oh my gosh. Okay.
Red.
Red also.
Yeah. Okay. A flag.
We are waiting for him to just go
and
on the stage.
And the jacket.
Like a jacket, I know.
Yeah.
Long jacket.
Long jacket. Blue or like jacket, like military jacket.
Military, like strong, like arms and long.
Yeah.
Jonathan likes them too. He always wants to buy something.
And like some.
And on the face.
Hat.
Yeah.
On the face. But on the face, I try. I had this strange makeup. Because 4 years ago I had a car accident, and after 5-6 days I planned to have this concert.
Ouch!
And I want to have the concert.
That wasn't plastic
but
surgery. Are you sure?
Yeah,
that was
but
car
I was
accident?
My nose everything. Yeah. Then I put this mask of gladiator.
Gladiator mask.
No, it was a mask of what you call I don't remember now the word. You know the helmet. A helmet.
Oh, helmet.
Helmet from Greece helmet. You know, and I used that. It was very great because my nose was covered by this. It's very difficult to explain.
We call this plastic surgery on your nose, but whatever you call this car accident. But yeah, I can imagine. I know you. You are very
careful. Yeah, and I made anyway the concert thanks to the helmet, and the people was
loved it.
I was excited. Wow, wonderful. But was a makeup and also an excuse to cover my surgery.
Yeah. And I know, you know, obviously you play a lot of rock music, also dance music. You are king of dance music.
Yeah,
in
I like
too,
the position.
Then.
I like when something is not directly connected. Like if you
stands
play,
out.
Yeah, if you play rock, for example, I would like to have costume from
18th century or 16th century.
Yeah,
like
another
romantic.
Completely. Dimension, because I think when everything is obvious,
yeah, then people is predictable. We don't.
I like it to be unusual.
Coming back to Jim, I know soon we'll be having another guest in the studio, and I think she will have unusual accent. Can you tell us about your singer that you are working with right now?
Oh, Miss Hayla.
Yeah, we want to know more.
Hayla. Oh, I just love her. She's amazing. She's Israeli, and she's got a multicultural Middle Eastern background, and she's doing some amazing stuff, and she's getting a lot of attention out there. We just came back from Vegas last week, and she performed at Mandalay Bay, and she's going to headline OC Pride on August 11th. So, and I think she's going to come and be on the show maybe next week or the week after.
Yeah, I would love to include her.
That would
her.
Be awesome.
Yeah.
She's looking forward to it. And Miss Hayla, check her out. Her big song is I'm Free, which was the Billboard Top 20 hit. And she's working on her album coming out.
And you had this cover on with one of your artists on the Billboard. I was so jealous when I saw that. How did you get there?
Which Billboard?
On the Billboard newspaper. I saw one of the artists.
Which one was that? DeMonte?
I think so.
Yes, we did that with DeMonte.
Congratulations. That's really, really something.
She was number 15. It's harder and harder to work that chart. You know?
Oh, gosh. You know, what do you think, dance music? Are we dying or we are growing?
Actually, I love the fact that dance music is popular, you know, but I also love Gautier and the Kimbra song. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Like, that makes me excited, too. But for a long time, dance music was just kind of like, you know, an alternative music that nobody really cared about.
Yeah.
The major labels didn't care about the chart.
Absolutely.
And then all of a sudden, Lady Gaga, Rihanna, and Katy Perry, and everybody
number
started
one
doing
everywhere,
all these.
Yes.
Yeah, and they said, oh my God, we should be taking advantage of this chart too. And so now they've forced all the independents off the chart. I think they should have a separate Billboard chart for independents. You know what I mean? I don't know if that will ever happen, but, a lot of these DJs, you know, want to play independent. They love the edginess of new artists and underground artists.
That's
like
what
yourself,
I so appreciate about DJs, because, you know, we have thousands of them, and I'm trying to talk to them and on Facebook, and we are writing to each other. When we release some new song, we are talking, and they really try to help independent artists. They try to bring them, you know, to the charts, but really you see the top 20 is always the same names, the big names, the really big, you know, push, and it's just harder and harder. But do you think the dance music will go, what genre will be mixed with? Because we had a rap a little bit, hip-hop a little bit, and dance, that was great, helped a lot too, I think, you know. But what do you think? Will be pop, rock, dance? Will be electronica dance? What will
be
next?
I think it's going to go a little bit more pop, rock, you know what I mean? I think, I don't know. You never know till you hear the next sound that comes out that some, you know, hotshot DJs working on in their garage. But, you know, it can go a lot of different ways. I mean, to some degree, I'll be kind of honest. I can be a little bored with what's out there right now because it's not a lot of. I'm just feeling inundated with the same sounds over and over again, you know, and so that's how I'm feeling. And when you have Katy Perry who does 20 remixes of a song, you know, it's like it loses the feeling of it, you know. So I don't know where it's gonna go.
I think in America we have this this ways of just using artists to the moment that people don't want to hear them anymore, because instead of inviting lots of the great one and just mixing them up, we really are focusing on a few, and then the sound is overwhelming on every corner. And I like a mixture. I like everything. I love accent. I love people from every country doing, you know, what they do the best and bring this, you know, and let us listen. Then 70s, I think, and 80s hopefully will be back. And mainstream dance music will be more like pop music that everybody just treats us equally, okay? Mm-hmm. Are you agreeing with me?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think it's just good music. You know what it is at the end of the day? Is that you have a good song. And we say it all the time. Everyone's looking for a hit song. It's a good song that really breaks through, like Gautier. And, you know, look at Adele. She's got great songs. You know what I mean? Carrie Underwood, she picks great songs.
Absolutely.
You know, they've got great people. They're getting the best writers, you know, to some degree. But it's a great song that really gets someone through. Like that Alexandra Stan, who had that Mr. Saxo beat. That was awesome, you know, and that was able to cross over, you know. So you just never know.
Jim, we are so thankful that we have you, because obviously you take care of the artists and you keep them going, and just many times when they feel down, I'm sure you're bringing them up and say, hey, don't worry, you know, things will happen. You just need to find your own listeners, and sometimes it's very hard. And the hit or the really hooky song or really sad song that really comes to our heart from singer's mouth is just not happening too often, and we need to look for it, you know, like that's it, you know, work harder.
I mean, my thing, in all honesty, I think, is work with a creative team. You know, it's one of the biggest things I think an artist has a problem with sometimes is writing with other people, because they don't want to share that percentage.
Absolutely, yeah.
And
crazy.
Unfortunately, that's what it comes down to, a financial thing.
Mimo, I know we have a phone call. It's from Dallas.
That was very interesting, the conversation.
No, we'll be having Jim back with his artist.
He's talking about some real important thing. Anyway,
that's very important. I really think we need to have you back, because I think this is like controversial almost topic. We need to talk. We have although our doctor can bring us down with our energy that we have right now, because we want to talk about something, but we have Dallas calling. Hello.
I don't want to bring you down, Ilona. I don't want to do that. No, we want to bring you up, educate you.
Bring down my not excitement, because we are a little angry. We are the musicians. We want to make changes, and we cannot do it really right now. Then I will say we need your advice how to deal with our lives in a peaceful, wonderful, healthy, smart way, and to break all myths that mommy and grandma told us for many, many years. And you are there for us to do that. Okay?
We'll give it a try.
Okay, we have few wonderful things that you will be talking to us right now. Can cold weather make you sick? What do you think about it, Jim?
No, cold weather does not make you sick. I think that, you know, being run down and being negative in your thinking will allow those bugs to get in there.
Well, what do you think, Mimo, with one line? Can cold weather make you sick?
No, but for me, yes. with me, it's working.
I know. I'm supposed to say no, but I think cold weather can make me sick. What do you think, Doctor?
We'll have to go with the majority on this one. Cold weather does not make you sick. it is viruses and bacteria that actually make you sick, but the apparent increase is mostly due to more people being inside, and you end up with tighter clusters of people, so you have more contact among people, and if one person gets sick, then when they sneeze, it transmits to everyone else standing around them while they're inside trying to get warmer.
Ah,
so at the end of the day, it doesn't make you sick, but it does increase the transmission of disease to some degree.
Okay, then if I shiver...
I have a question.
Yeah?
But do people get sick more often in the winter or in the summer?
Well, the people will tend to get sick more in the winter, but it's simply a function of more people clustered together. So when one person has a disease, it will be more easily transmitted to everyone else that's inside. Whereas during the summertime months, you're going to have more people that are out and about, working outside, doing things outside. So you're not as likely to get that kind of a disease transmission.
Gosh, you make this so easy to understand. Now I understand why. You're right. That seems like really, really right, you know. Right. More people outside, more people inside, more people close to each other, and then, you know, viruses are spreading. I didn't think about it this way. Okay, does sugar make kids?
Hey, wait a minute.
No,
wait,
Jonathan, you are so quiet. I almost thought that you fell asleep or something.
Hi, Jonathan.
Hello.
Hi, DJ. I have Scott Liebfried, world-renowned television celebrity chef, sitting right here next to me. And both of us, we're going to just say what AJ said about, DJ said about that. We agreed with him.
Well, yeah, you better. But anyway, does sugar make kids hyper? Now we are in studio here. What do you think, Mimo? Sugar is not making... My dog, when he gets little something sweet, oh my gosh, he's like so fast running around that I think, yes, sugar makes you a little bit hyper. What do you think, Jim?
Yes.
Yes. Dr. DJ brings us to the senses.
I will have to disagree with you. Sugar actually does not make kids hyper.
No, mama.
Actually, there have been more than a dozen very well-controlled studies, what we call double-blinded placebo-controlled. So they would give children either water or sugar, and the person who gave it to them and was evaluating them didn't know which one each child was getting. There were over a dozen of those studies, and they showed no link between sugar and making kids hyper.
That's
so
amazing.
The answer is actually no, not at all.
Okay, Scott, I think that's amazing because in a restaurant in Maui, in Fleetwood's on the Front Street restaurant, when moms would say, don't eat sweet honey, it will make you hyper, you will never go sleep, you can bring Dr. DJ Verrett information and we can print on your menu saying, this is not true, just give your child a little sweet. Hello, Jonathan.
Thank you so much for that.
Okay, I know. A menu is already printed. You probably don't want any changes. But it's good to know that we really can feed our babies. And it's just not excuses. Just give them a little and let them enjoy it. And don't play guilt on babies.
Yeah, Scott and I agreed with DJ also on this one.
I don't like that. What did you do? You need little sugar, honey. Anyway.
Well, and one other thing, though, Ilona, you know, you do want to be careful with sugar, though, because obviously it does lead to more dental caries, tooth decay, and does have some other negative effects. So you don't want to just give them a sugar bowl and let them go to town. You do want to be careful with it.
Okay, we'll do that. Do children get ear infection because they don't keep their ears covered? Do children get ear infection? Okay, now when you are like leading with these two questions and I'm always wrong, then I will say, doesn't matter. Uh-oh. What do we think? Better cover our ears to not get sick? Mimo.
I don't know. Because actually, I think for the...
For the throw...
It's
good to like
put
some
water. No, it's not good. No, I think it's not good. Because if you cover too much,
yeah,
I think, what I actually experiment with myself,
yeah,
is not good.
I think Jonathan, what do you think?
It's a legend.
Are you getting ear infection because you don't keep your ears covered?
Scott and I say absolutely no.
Okay. What about DJ? Dr. DJ, we need your opinion. No.
You do not get ear infections because you do not cover your ears.
What?
Ear infections are caused again, ear infections are caused by bacteria or viruses. Now, your ears can hurt because of wind blowing in them, either because of pressure changes that occur or simply getting cold enough that it causes an early stage of frostbite. But you're not going to get an ear infection simply by not covering your ears.
Yeah.
And now you got me to very personal
moment. Wearing earmuffs right now. Scott's wearing earmuffs right now.
Oh, okay.
He fantastic. Is. So we don't have to worry about ear infections or ear hurting.
He is like big two fishes.
Well, the problem is he can't hear you.
What?
What? You know what? This next question is very important for me because that's what I'm telling my baby, my child, 18 years old daughter, all the time. Can going outside with wet hair give you a cold? And I know now you will say no, but every time when she has wet hair and just runs to the school, I'm like, close the window in the car because you'll get crosswind and you'll get sick.
Wife, you are so wrong. Scott and I say no. Go out with your wet hair.
Okay.
If you Google Scott Liebfried on for Hell's Kitchen or Scott Liebfried Chef, you'll see his hair and he can vouch that it doesn't matter whether it's wet or dry.
What about Jim? I think we can say the same about you.
We have the same haircut.
I purposely go outside with wet hair.
And okay, what do you think, Mimalicious? Wet hair trouble when you go outside or not?
Wet hair or
wet.
Rain?
No, you are having wet hair. And will you get sick or not when you have wet hair, do you think?
I think yes.
Okay, Dr. DJ, you make me depressed today. I have wrong answers for every question. Okay.
I actually have to side with your daughter. There is no evidence that wet hair will get you sick.
She will fire me from this moment on.
Scott, I told you that.
Oh, gosh. I feel so bad.
And Ilona, we did miss one on there. The eating chocolate causes acne. Any thoughts on that one?
She asked me, you know, again, I need to tell you that because Natasha said, Mom, every time when I'm going to the Facebook and listening to your post, I want to know every answer for Dr. DJ myths. I really want to. And that's what she brought to me today up. I want to know, because she loves chocolate, am I really, you know, have trouble because I eat so much chocolate? No, tell me yes. What do you think, Mimo?
No.
You have great skin.
No.
I don't know.
No, for me, no.
You love chocolate. It means only that somebody's allergic then, gets them badly. Oh, what, Jim, do you like chocolate?
Yeah, dark chocolate.
How is your gorgeous skin?
It's good, but you know what? I am going to be giving up sugar at the end of this week.
I need to do this too, but for different reasons, you know, not only, you know, just, yeah, I need to. But the chocolate, Jonathan?
So I will miss chocolate, but maybe I could have sugar-free someday.
Blech. Ugly.
I know.
Your stomach will hurt. Don't do that. Jonathan Koo, what do you think about chocolate? And Mr. Scott?
The chef and the manager say no, there's no correlation between eating chocolate and having acne. In fact, chocolate has excessively valuable antioxidants. The darker you go, the better. And we highly recommend even teenagers have their daily dose of chocolate.
What's wrong with you? You are so forceful today. Dr. DJ, please give me this one win. Please tell me that when you eat chocolate, you just have not nice skin. Oh, don't want to hear that one.
I will actually applaud Jonathan and the chef for their very extensive and correct answer. But I will also give Ilona a partial credit on this one. The very interesting thing about chocolate and acne isn't actually the chocolate. There have been the chocolate doesn't relate to acne. That is correct. But what seems to relate to acne, and actually Jonathan and Scott were correct, that the darker chocolates do have more antioxidant capabilities, which does seem to be protective against acne. But there is some evidence out there to suggest that diets which are high in the glycemic index, and that generally milk chocolates, very sweet chocolates are higher in the glycemic index, whereas the more bittersweet chocolates, the darker chocolates, will be lower in the glycemic index. High glycemic index foods do seem to cause more inflammation in the body, which can lead to acne. So conversely, a low glycemic index diet can actually be protective against acne. And I'm hoping we can get Scott down the road to maybe go over a diet kind of low in the glycemic index with us, because that seems to be very protective for diabetics, heart disease, acne in the skin, and a lot of other things related to inflammation in the body. So I'll give you a partial credit there, Ilona. Partial
credit.
Thank
you so much. You just gave me something that I can go home with.
You're really stressing, DJ.
I'm so happy a little bit of something. But, yeah, I like that idea. Scott, we are talking today about healthy barbecuing tips, but I know the health side of dark meat or being a little too much burned, and I'm sure doctor will tell us also that that's not so good. We need to watch that. But I'm sure when you cook healthy, barbecue healthy, and you know what you are doing, you can make almost everything very tasty and healthy. But we need to know how to do that. Can you give us some tips today?
Well, you're correct in saying that it's a lot easier to not incorporate as many fats and sodium and salts and things like that in barbecuing if you do it the proper way. But we need to ask the question first to the group, are we gas or are we charcoal?
Oh, I think most people...
DJ's game has been reversed upon him.
Okay, Jonathan, I know you are buying bigger barbecues, but you really have no time to do anything about it. Do we have gas? No, we have gas. That's what we have, yes? Then we are...
Well, I have gas.
Thank you for sharing.
It's getting unbearable, but...
What is better? Just tell us, Scott, what is better? Gas or the type of, how you call this, coal miner stuff?
That too.
Gas or coal miners?
Kaboom. What is better?
All right. Here's the gas is obviously much more convenient for everybody, but charcoal is no longer in the way of some sort of briquette that's soaked in lighter fluid in order to get it to light anywhere. There's some great hardwood charcoals out there. There's some great mesquite-flavored charcoals, which add a lot of flavor to whatever it is that you're barbecuing, whether it be fish, steak, chicken, whatever it may be, even vegetables. So it really helps the flavor profile, and it enhances it tremendously without adding any kind of additives, flavors, marinades, brines, you know, anything high in sodium, anything high in sugar as an addition. So I always recommend charcoal. I love watching people buy $5,000 barbecues, and then a year later they're buying a Weber and a bag of charcoal.
That's what we do.
Hey, Scott, what charcoal do you like best for its flavor? I'm a big fan of the cedar woods. We had a bunch of cedars on our farm and pecan. They seem to impart pretty good flavor. What's your favorite?
The stuff, as far as adding the wood like you're talking about, it really does add an amazing depth. But what I'm speaking about, it's called hardwood charcoal, so it's actually already charred. In the form of like a briquette almost. And Whole Foods has their own label, but every hardware store in the world, once the summertime hits and barbecue season hits, they have every kind of charcoal and hardwood charcoal in these places that you would possibly be looking for.
I'm going to throw in my two cents for those of you who want grill fantastic foods. It's getting more and more popular, but up till about 5 years ago, people just didn't get this and didn't know it. But you can now commercially buy parts of barrels that used to contain wines. They're generally speaking French or American oak.
Barrel slaves.
They're called barrel
slaves.
Slaves. S-L-A-T-H-E-S. Barrel slaves.
Okay.
And you can get them online. Amazon carries them. And we have all kinds of wines like Merlots and Chardonnays. Syrahs, petite Syrahs, and so you take your briquettes and you get your temperature up, and then on top of the briquettes, you put moistened versions of these. You soak them for 30 minutes or so in water, and they steam, but they steam out oak and some of the wine, the part of the residue of the wine that sticks to the barrel, and it gives an incredibly wine-like flavor and a beautiful finish to both meats and fish.
Honey, where are you barbecuing?
Why do you think you like your halibut when I cook it for you, dear?
Oh, gosh. I think, Scott, we need some recipe to be posted on our website and just, you know, knowing that people can understand. That was pretty complicated. I know we have only 2 minutes before we need to finish the show. 1 minute right now, Mimo says. You know, I think next week I would like to know more. Yes, we are forcing people to use right now some type of wood. We are talking that, you know, the old-fashioned way seems like it's pretty good. We don't need $5,000 barbecues to have a good food. And, you know, and I want to know more. And I want my husband to come back and just do the salmon for me the way that Scott describes. And that's all. It's too late.
And I haven't even gotten into the part about the grilled lemon yet.
Oh, okay.
But that's for next week.
Okay, will this be next week? Looks like Scott will be continuing because we have like this cliffhanger. We don't know what's happened. We need a lemon and we don't know where to put and what to do with lemon. Next week, we'll find out what Scott meant by having lemon in your hand and squeeze on what. See you and let's listen to Accent On. Next week, we love you, everybody. Jim, thank you for being here. Jonathan and Scott. Maui and aloha and Mimo.
Aloha.
Thank
aloha.
You again.
Aloha.
And yes, John Johnson, we love you too. And thank you so much, Dr. Vere.
See you.
Bye. Aloha.
Thank
aloha.
You.
Hi, everybody.
Bye.
Aloha.
Bye.
Ciao.
Ciao.
Ciao, ciao.
Mahalo.
Thank you.
You're listening to Accent On with Alona Europa and Jonathan Todd right here on LA Talk Radio.